makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour. And your host, Don Ameche.
This is Don Ameche bidding you welcome for all your Chase and Sanborn friends. Nelson Eddy, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Tonight, it is our great pleasure to extend the very warmest of greetings to our special guests, that very talented, charming young actress, Maureen O'Sullivan, and the delightfully unusual Sterling Holloway, whose company we enjoyed so much last week. We hope you will all enjoy our show and that throughout the week, you'll remain our friends as well as friends of Chase and Sanborn. Drums are beating, banners are waving, flags are flying, and crowds are cheering. So let's all keep in step with Nelson Eddy singing Marching on Parade.
Your gun, 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 and go marching on parade. Hear the drums somewhere, there's the hum in the air, hear the crowd start to cheer. Hear the marshal's train with a stirring refrain growing loud, drawing near. It's a start. And the tonight,
on parade, we're on parade.
Come on,
come on,
come on, we're on parade. Marching on,
when the band goes by, and we're marching on. What a boy.
your mammy.
Here's some water, Miss Daddy.
I don't want any water.
Well, weren't you singing for Water Boy?
Yes, sure, Charlie, but that's the name of the song.
Oh, I see. Then you don't want any water.
No, give it to Bergen.
Yeah, no, I can't give it to Bergen, or he'll try to do that old ventriloquist trick, making me sing while he drinks a glass of water.
Yeah, that must be quite a stunt, Charlie.
Yeah, well, it would be if he could do it. But he either cheats or chokes.
Well, I have heard of it being done.
Yeah, well, Bergen tried it for 2 years, and then he admitted it was humanly impossible.
That's so.
Yes. Yeah, well, now he's trying to tell me that it's impossible to talk without moving your lips. I tell you, the guy is slipping. I gotta watch him, you know. I gotta watch him, you know. I gotta watch him.
Well, not half as much as I have to watch you.
Oh, I sense so.
Yes.
Bergen, why don't you get wise to yourself and let me live my own life?
Oh, I see. Yeah. Well, I don't know what to do, Charlie.
That's just the trouble, you.
Every single attempt to correct your behavior has met with failure.
Well, at least you're consistent.
Yes. In the future, Charlie, I'm going to try and be more of a companion to you.
A what?
Yes. I want to be a pal.
Oh, you are?
Yes.
Hi, pal.
Hi, Charlie. You see, that's the spirit we want. I haven't enough in common with you. I want to be closer.
Closer? That's impossible.
No. Charlie, what I mean is, I want to understand you better.
Oh, sure, yes.
I want to know your thoughts. I want to join you in your play, you know, in sports.
Oh. Would you like to roll my hoop?
No. Well, for example, what are you going to do when you meet the boys after school tomorrow?
Oh, would you like to join us after school? That is, if we go to school?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yes, I would, Charlie. What are you going to do?
Well, I don't think you'd care for it, Bergen.
Now, that's where you're mistaken, Charlie. You see, you don't know me. You just don't know me at all.
Don't I?
No.
Well, would you introduce yourself to me?
All right, I will. I'm your friend, your pal.
Oh, how do you do, pal? Fraternity man?
Yes. Delta Upsilon, Northwestern 27.
Oh, good. My name's McCarthy, Helter Skelter. Public school 7. 39. Or 40. Or 50. Subject to change without notice.
All right, Charlie. But really, what are you going to do after school tomorrow? I'd like to take part in your activities.
Oh, now, you're just saying that, Mr. Bergen.
No, I really mean it.
You do?
Yes.
Oh, you are in luck, Bergen, because we got some swell activities scheduled for tomorrow.
Oh, you have?
Oh, yes, we do schedule them.
Well, what is it?
It's going to be a small game hunt.
A small game hunt?
Yes.
Oh, that ought to be fun. Count me in.
Oh, splendid. Now, don't forget your hunting tweeds, Chappie.
No. Now, what are we hunting, Charlie?
We're catching rats in Dugan's Alley.
Oh. Catching rats.
Yeah.
Well, I'm afraid I wouldn't care for that.
Well, there you are, Bergen. You see, we have absolutely nothing in common. All you like to do is sit around and lecture. Small talk, that's the trouble. Prittle prattle.
Oh, no. That's enough of that, young man. Even though you are growing up.
Uh-huh.
It's not too late yet for me to use my hairbrush on you.
Yeah. Oh, at last you found a use for it, aren't you?
Well, let me tell you something, Charlie. I'm all out of patience with you.
Yes?
Yes, and another remark like that.
I am just in time, Monsieur Bergen. You must never raise your voice to the little child.
Oh, put. Who is this outboard motor?
Well, Charlie, this is Dr. Amici Q. Pecksniff.
Oh.
The famous child psychologist. I've asked him to come over here to analyze you.
I warn you, Bergen, it's a losing battle.
Oh, put. You must not say that. You look like a very sweet and simple little boy.
Yes, but put. it's a two-seater, I hope. I'll join you. I can be an awful nuisance if I have to. And I think I'll have to, too.
Now, Charlie, it might be well to listen to the doctor.
Oh. Monsieur Bergen, have you read my book on children and how they should be strung up? I mean, brung up?
Yes. I don't think I'm going to like this guy.
Yes, I've read your book, Doctor.
Yeah, and I read it, too.
Oh, you did? Well, I would like your candid opinion.
Oh, no, you wouldn't.
Charlie, you cannot mean that.
Well, I've told Charlie that school is very important for his success, you know, but he seems to give me some argument. Now, you do agree with me, don't you, Doctor?
Well, it is my opinion that children may be divided into two groups.
Uh-huh.
Those who do not like to go to school and the other kind.
What other kind? Didn't know there were any.
Quiet, Charlie. Doctor, you'll have to forgive Charlie.
Oh,
Charlie.
I do not mind a little breath.
Boy.
You know, Monsieur Bergen, it is an amazing fact that the majority of children want to leave school when they reach the age of 15.
Oh.
That settles it. Today, I am 15.
You know, Monsieur Berger, that boy is very quick on the wisecrack back.
Yes, sometimes too quick, Doctor.
I would like to give him my mental aptitude test.
Oh, now I'm going to be a guinea pig.
Now, Charlie, I will say a word, and you will give me a word which is the opposite. Yes. Ready?
Yes, very good, Doctor Putt-Putt.
Yeah. All right, we go. In.
Out.
Up.
Down.
Early.
Late.
Good.
What do you mean, as good as perfect?
No, Charlie, that was part of the test. Now, please give me a word that has the same meaning as mine.
Oh, all right.
Little?
Small?
Large?
Big?
Tight?
Bergen?
No, not sure.
Please, do not interrupt, Monsieur Bergen. We are getting nowhere, but with excellent results.
Yeah. Huh?
Charlie, for that test, you get 100%, just like my own little boy.
Oh, do you have a son, Doctor?
Oh, oui. He's a block off the old chip. He is a wonderful boy. I have an appointment to see him this evening between 6 and 7.
6 and 7? Do you mean to say, Doctor, that you have... You maintain such a rigid schedule with your own child?
Oh, no. It is not my schedule. Oh. It is his schedule. You see, that is the visiting hour at the reform school.
Yeah.
Oh, I can't do a thing with that boy.
Oh, but.
In this streamlined age of swing, one of the most popular practices of our younger swingaroos is taking a favorite of former days and giving it a 1939 overhauling. In our new version of the old Ain't Misbehaving, Dorothy L'Amour is the sweet little jitterbug.
No one to talk with, all by myself. No one to walk with, but I'm happy on a shell. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. I know for certain the one I love. I'm through with flirting, it's just you I'm thinking of. Ain't misbehaving, I'm saving my love for you. Like Jack Horner in the corner, don't go nowhere, what do I care? Your kisses are worth waiting for. Believe me, I don't stay out late, don't care to go. I'm home about 8, just me and my radio. Hey, Mr. Haven, I'm saving my love for you.
Of other people is always interesting. If they've tried something and liked it, we like to try it too. So you'll be interested in this. In recent years, among all brands of coffee, there's one blend that has won the most new friends, and that's Chase and Sanborn dated coffee.
Yes, millions of people have tried Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, have liked it better, changed to it, and are using it now. And there are good reasons for this nationwide swing. First of all,
Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is a superb blend you know is freshly roasted. And freshness is vital. For coffee is a perishable food, like milk or eggs. When coffee grows stale, it may become bitter and rancid tasting. So you want freshly roasted coffee instead. Coffee with a full-bodied, satisfying flavor.
Here's how you know that Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is freshly roasted. On every bag is the date your grocer receives it. Fresh from our nearby roasting oven. Rushed to him by our rapid fresh food delivery service. That date is your constant assurance of delicious, freshly roasted coffee.
And there's another reason why dated coffee has grown so popular. It saves you money. That's because freshly roasted coffee doesn't require fancy, high-priced containers. Instead, we use an economical dated bag, so you save money. You get the world's choice coffees, freshly roasted, at a price everyone can afford.
So join the nationwide swing to Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Treat your family to the hearty, bracing flavor of this marvelous blend. Ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
There's a soft spot, a rather special soft spot in our hearts for delightful Maureen O'Sullivan. And welcoming her here this evening comes under the heading of Pleasant Duty Number One. Presently at work in MGM's newest version of The Life and Loves of Edgar Rice Burroughs' Tarzan, Maureen has taken time off to appear tonight as Eileen in a love story by Robert Newman. We present The Other Road with Maureen O'Sullivan. There's a pretty Irish countryside with its cool patchwork fields and pleasant green hedges cut by a dusty, tree-lined Irish road. But the pastoral quiet of this country scene is rudely broken by the gasping efforts of a hired limousine. A limousine which bears, in unaccustomed luxury, a mother and her charming daughter, and which seems rather uncertain about bearing them much further.
what is it now? Mr. Chauffeur, speak up. Whatever's the matter with this contraption?
Well, Mother, if I may be so bold as to say so, I've an idea we've run out of petrol.
Petrol, is it? When I hired this expensive vehicle, they told me it would take us wherever we wanted to go. Mr. Chauffeur, the minute we get to Mr. Dennis's place, you can consider yourself discharged.
But, Mother, that isn't fair. The man wanted to stop three times and you wouldn't let him.
Eileen, how can you be defending this boss soon? Here it is, gone 4 o'clock. And we're due at John's at 5. I don't know how you can be so calm about it. And you being married today. And instead of being there, here we are, stranded miles from anywhere, on a back road to nowhere. Let me tell you, young lady, John will be that angry it'll be the death of him.
Good.
Eileen, did you say good?
I did. I did indeed. I'd be delighted to see John Dennis black with rage. I'd be delighted to see John Dennis give any sign he was flesh and blood. Him and his cool, calm, superior ways.
Do you know you're talking about your future husband?
Yes, Mother. I know.
Eileen, whatever's gotten into you? After all the trouble I've gone to arrange the finest match in... What are you staring at now? Eileen!
What? Oh, I was just looking at that little donkey cart coming toward us.
Go on with you. You'd think you'd never seen a donkey cart before in your life. Eileen, what ails you? You're white as a ghost.
Nothing. It's nothing, Mother. Nothing at all.
Well, at least now we can get some petrol. Hey, you young fella. You and the car. Come here a minute.
Whoa, up here. Whoa. You were speaking to me, ma'am?
Yes, I was. We've run out of petrol. You didn't happen to pass a garage on this road?
Why, yes, ma'am. There's a small town about 3/4 of a mile back, and I think I noticed a garage there.
Good. Here's half a crown. Go back and fetch us a tin of petrol. You can keep the change.
Oh, I'm awfully sorry, madam, but I can't do that.
You can? And why not?
Why, that'd mean retracing my steps, and I never retrace my steps. I can't, you know. There's so much to see that I can't waste my time on things I've seen already.
Nonsense. Don't you want to turn an honest penny?
No, not particularly, thank you.
Will you fetch the petrol or won't you?
Mother, the gentleman said he'd no interest in money. From the looks of him, with the dust of the road on him, you might never suspect it. But I imagine he has a pride of a sort. It's a small pride, no doubt, but a stubborn one. I've met the likes of him before. It's no good insisting.
Hey, wait a minute. I didn't see... Oh, madam, you were obstructing the view. I didn't see the young lady. Young ladies in distress, particularly beautiful young ladies in distress, are my specialty. Give me the money. I'll get the gasoline. I mean the petrol.
Chauffeur, I think you'd better go with him. He may not find his way back if you don't. He says he's not interested in money, but a half crown is still a half crown.
But, madam, think of the risk you two charming ladies run if you send the chauffeur along with me. I, as you see, am harmless, but suppose someone else comes along the road. Two women, unprotected.
There may be something in what you say. Eileen, you'll have to go with him.
Aye, Mother.
Well, who else?
But I don't think... Eileen! Oh, very well. I'll go. But I think there's little to choose between the dangers of staying here and going with him.
Get along now.
Well, remember, Mother, it was you who insisted I go.
Well, of course I insisted. But do hurry. Or the wedding will be over before the bride gets there.
Oh, so there's to be a wedding, Mrs. Moore?
Eileen is to be married to John Dennis this very afternoon. How did you know my name?
Well, we gypsies are psychic. Are you coming, Eileen?
I can do it.
Give me a hand. I'll help you up.
No, thank you. I can do nicely without your help.
Okay, up. There you are.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Get up, Eric.
What did you call the donkey?
I called him Eric. Why?
That's an odd name to call a donkey. Do you do it for any particular reason?
Yes. For a very particular reason. You see, I knew a man once whose name was Eric. He was very dumb. When I bought this cart and donkey at the Cary Fair, I said to myself, Eric is very dumb. This donkey is very dumb, therefore this donkey must be Eric. That's called syllogistic reasoning.
Oh, so that's what it's called. I knew a man whose name was Eric. I wonder if it could have been the same man.
Oh, I doubt it.
From your description, I think it might be. The Eric I speak of was very stupid, too.
Well, Eric's a very common name.
Oh, no, it's not. It's an uncommon name. And this Eric was an uncommon man. Very stupid in some ways, but uncommon. He was an artist, a painter.
Oh, well, you see, they couldn't possibly be the same Eric. This Eric painted, but he wasn't an artist. He was just a portrait painter. Rich women used to come to him to be painted, and he used to do very nice, flattering portraits of himself. He made quite a lot of money. An artist never does that.
What happened to him?
Oh, one day he discovered he was stupid.
Oh, he did he? And what made him discover that?
A girl.
Oh.
He fell in love with her.
Oh, how interesting. Was she pretty?
Well, yes.
Oh. And were they happy?
In a way.
How nice for them. Then she must have been in love with him.
Well, he thought she was, at first. And then he thought she wasn't, and when he finally realized she was, it was too late.
Why was it too late?
Well, she happened to see some landscapes he'd painted just for fun. And she realized the truth. That if he gave up his portrait work and tried real hard, he might be an artist. But he couldn't see it.
But perhaps he'd been poor for a long time. Without a coat to his back, without a fire to warm him. Perhaps there were nights when he'd slept on the hedges and the country roads and famished with the hunger. And then, perhaps he began to make money. He slept in a fine bed and wore fine clothes and lived on the cream of the land and felt like a king. Perhaps he feared being poor again.
Perhaps.
And she, what did she do?
Well, she wasn't afraid. She only wanted him to be great. So she told him if he wanted her, he'd have to give up the life he'd been living and be an artist. But he couldn't see it. He wanted both. The easy life and the girl. So the girl did the bravest thing she could. She went away.
I'm thinking it was more trickery than bravery. Perhaps she was hoping if she went away, he'd give up his fancy portraits and find her. If he loved her. And then more than likely her trick found her out. More than likely he didn't follow her. More than likely she cried. More than likely.
Well, that may be, but finally she did the very thing she'd urged him not to do. She did it the easy way. She decided to marry a man she didn't love because he had what is called position. And, of course, a great deal of money.
Are you sure she didn't love him?
Well, maybe she thinks she does.
Oh, no. No. If the truth be told, she knows better. When the painter didn't follow, she was desolate and lonely and cried her heart out at night. And her mother, she kept after her and after her. But never a word from the painter.
Well, how could she? After she went away, traveled all over the world looking for some one thing to take her place. But he couldn't find it. And then one day he realized how dumb he was, so he came back.
And he bought himself a donkey, and he called it Eric, so he could say, Eric, you're a donkey 50 times a day. And did he fall in love again with another beautiful girl?
No. He just worked very hard, painting.
Fancy portraits?
No. Landscapes. The sea, sunrise, storms. Whatever he saw that had beauty.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Why should you be glad?
Oh, well, I think the girl would have been glad if she'd known.
You think so?
I do.
Whoa, up, Eric, here. That's funny. I don't remember this fork in the road. I don't know which way I came.
Why don't you ask that old man sitting over there on the fence?
Oh, yes, I will. Hey, can you tell me which road to take into town?
And why would you be wanting to get into town now?
Well, I have to get some gasoline, petrol.
Oh, petrol, is it? Oh, you don't need petrol for that, neither. Is it you she's marrying?
No.
And what are you looking at her like that for? No, that's not decent. You'd best go down this road to the left. The first house you come to belongs to the priest. He's a very understanding man.
We don't want to get married. We want petrol.
All right. But don't blame me if you're sorry after. Take the road to the right. And all I can say is, young fella, me lad, it's the wrong road to be taken.
Come on, Eric. Get up.
Oh, but that other road looked very inviting.
Well, maybe I'll try it later. Right now, we're going to town to get some petrol so you can get to John Dennis's house in time to be married.
Indeed, well, I'll have you know I don't want to go to John Dennis's house.
Well, where do you want to go?
I want to go to the Kerry Fair so I can buy a fine donkey and call her Eileen and say, Eileen, you're a donkey, 50 times a day.
Why?
Because the girl we were talking about found out long ago that she didn't care what you... what the painter did. It's what he was that mattered.
Really?
Yes, really. Really, really, really. Oh, Eric.
Whoa, whoa, whoa up, Eric. Whoa. That's right. Come on, now, get up.
Oh, what might you be doing, Eric?
I'm turning around.
Why?
Oh, we have to turn around to get to the other road, don't we?
Oh, yes.
Your mother said you were going to get married, didn't she?
Yes.
Well, I wouldn't want to disappoint her for the world. Come on, get up, Eric.
Oh, Eric.
Both hands driving. That's a terrible rough road
for. This is Don Amici, and the Jason Sanborn Hour continues. The legend of Don Juan is age-old and has been told in both prose and poetry. When the famous Russian author Count Ilya Tolstoy wrote a poem about it, the great Russian composer Tchaikovsky set it to music. Nelson Eddy sings this classic collaboration, Don Juan's Serenade.
Écoute ma sérénade, viens entendre.
Sterling Holloway was here last Sunday, his delightful chore was so neatly done. His delightful chore was so neatly done that we immediately asked the mild-mannered, wild-haired Mr. Holloway to return. Sterling, I'm pleased that you're here.
Well, Don, I'm pleased that you're pleased because I had every intention of being here anyway.
Oh, did you?
Yeah, I knew I'd come back. You see, I left my galoshes.
Oh, were those your galoshes?
Yeah, galoshes. That's a silly word, isn't it? Galoshes. You say it, Don.
Galoshes. Galoshes.
Yeah, it's still a silly word. Oh, but I love my galoshes, righty and lefty.
Well, if you thought so much of your pet galoshes, righty and lefty, how was it that you left them here all week?
Oh, well, they had each other, Don, and I've been so busy. Mercy, you know, Bob Armbruster and I have slaved like little beavers. I bet we've prepared 50 or 60 numbers in as many keys.
Yeah, but, Sterling, you can't sing 50 or 60 different numbers.
Yeah, well, I really can't sing any numbers, but I have to be prepared.
Why?
Oh, well, you see, Don, there are lots of songs I don't like to sing, and I never am sure of what song I am not going to like to not sing most, so, well, I've got to be ready for just about anything.
It won't throw you off if I don't understand what you're talking about, will it, Sterling?
Oh, no, Don, it's quite all right. So many of my friends say there's something of the mad genius about that boy.
Are you sure they use the word genius?
Yeah. Oh, but there's work ahead. Now, let's try Opus 43. Mimi, and you too, Don. Please, Mr. Armbruster, the arrangement we marked X. Oh, I blew out the flame.
Well, what's the matter?
Too high.
Well, how about trying the arrangement mark Z?
Oh, blue.
Well, what's the matter now?
Too low. Let's try Z sharp. Oh, blew out the flame. Oh, yeah, this is it. Oh, I kindled the spark.
And now?
I don't know. Now I just don't care.
What don't you care?
I don't care who blew out the flame or who kindled the spark. I think the whole thing is pretty silly.
Well, I don't care either.
Oh, good. Let's both don't care together.
All right.
How do we start?
I'm sure I don't know.
Well, look, suppose you sing it while I stand around and don't care, and then I'll sing it while you just stand around and don't care. Ready?
Yes, I think.
Go, I think.
Why?
I don't care.
Why did we part?
I don't care at all. I do not care.
What has happened to us?
It's a matter of complete indifference to me. I don't care. All right, now, here I come now. Now I'll sing it, and it's your turn to not care.
All right.
Okay.
Who
I don't blew care. Out the flame?
I don't care.
Who kindled the spark?
I don't care.
Well,
I don't care.
For heaven's sakes, Mr. Amici, I must say you don't care as much as I don't care.
Well, I'm not supposed to care.
Oh. Oh, well, as I always say, people who live in glass houses shouldn't.
Shouldn't what?
Oh, just plain old shouldn't. Mr. Don, did you ever have things go in one ear and come out the other?
Yes, especially lately.
Does it tickle?
Why, no, I...
Oh, well, I don't know. As I always say, beauty is only skin. Don, do you yodel?
No, Sterling, I'm sorry. I don't yodel.
Oh, well, couldn't I maybe tell my friends that you yodel?
No, Sterling, you definitely cannot tell your friends that I yodel.
Not even one teensy-weensy little old...
No, not even an old...
Oh, I always say, you can lead a horse to water, but you cannot make him.
Oh, now really, Sterling, a body can stand only so much.
Yes, I realize that full well, Don, so won't you sit down?
No, I won't sit down.
Oh, yeah.
What kind of talk is that?
Oh, yeah. See, do you like it? I'm practicing up being tough, see? Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. You know the Dead End Kids?
Yeah.
Pooh. And Don, for when I get real mad, oh, I've got a humdinger.
Oh, it's tougher than oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah. Oh. Look, go ahead, say something to me to make me mad. Something awful. It's all in fun, you know.
Oh, sure, sure. What would you like to have me call you?
Oh, I don't know. Something nasty and horrid. Call me... I hate to even say it to myself in fun, but... call me an old thing.
All right, but you asked for it. You... you old thing.
Well...
I said, you old thing.
Well.
Well, I said it twice.
And I answered it twice.
You don't mind if I don't understand, do you?
No, Don, it's quiet. Look, Don, you see, you call me that, that awful name, and I came back at you just as tough as you please with my withering, well. See? Well?
Well. Now, this is too much.
Oh, yeah? Well?
Well?
Well, I guess I'll take my galoshes. Come on, righty. Come on, lefty. So long, Don.
There seems to be a pro and con to everything. Despite the amount of argument that has been advanced to prove that love is blind, a team of popular songwriters have just emerged with the opposite view entitled, I Have Eyes. For the moment, I'd like to present their side of the question. I have eyes to see with, but they see only you. For you have eyes that put the very stars to shame. I have lips to sigh with, what else am I to do? When you have lips that fill my very soul with flame. Tonight you're near to me in a light bright as day. But you're so dear to me, I could see you even miles away. To see with, and yet when we're apart, I close my eyes and see with my heart. Tonight you're a light bright as day, but you're so dear to me, I could see you even miles away. For I have eyes to see with, and yet when we're apart, I close my eyes and see with my heart.
Miss O'Sullivan, I see Maureen.
She's not paying any attention to you, Charlie.
Yeah.
None at all.
Oh, well, this'll get her. Watch me.
was that, Charlie?
That's the call of Tarzan.
Oh, I see. Oh, so now you're Tarzan.
Yeah, pow my chest, Lurgan. Here she comes. Oh. Hello, Miss O'Sullivan.
Good morning, of the Eagles, Charlie.
Eek. What's that, jungle language?
No, Charlie, that's Gaelic for how do you do. Good morning, of the Eagles. How do you do?
Ickle de pickle de pickle. I never heard Gaelic before.
Would you like to learn it? I'd be glad to teach you.
Well, I'm willing to learn, but you see, I'm handicapped on things like that. It'll probably come out with a little Swedish tinge.
Well, I guess I don't stand a chance here with O'Sullivan's and McCarthy's.
Sure, and you can say that again, McBurgan. Scram a little to using the shillelagh on you.
Yes.
Sure, it is a pleasure to meet you, McCarthy. You're a lad after me own heart.
Sure, and I'm glad you're here, Maureen. For a week now, I've been looking forward to meeting the daughter of John L. Sullivan.
No, Charlie.
Huh?
No.
No,
no, no. O'Sullivan.
Oh.
She's not the daughter of John L. Sullivan.
Well, they got it short, and why doesn't somebody tell me these things, huh?
Oh, pay no attention. I'll forgive you, my lad. You're from the land of Erin, aren't you?
That I am, I am, I am, I am.
Dublin?
Well, right now, I am, yes. It's Jason Sanborn in Universal Studio, too. Double.
That didn't sound very Irish, Charlie.
Oh, I beg your pardon. Bergen just dropped my brogue here. Shall we pick it up, my dear?
No, let's drop it, my sweet.
Just as you say.
Oh, Ireland must be a lovely place, Maureen.
Oh, yes. Ireland must be heaven, because Bergen didn't come from there.
Oh, never mind that.
But it's a very happy place, Charlie. Back in Roscommon, where I was born, you can hear them singing from morning until late at night.
You know, Maureen, Irish songs have always been a favorite of mine.
Oh, do you sing?
Well,
Easy, Bergen.
All right. he's always teasing,
oh,
you know.
Yes, I know. I'd love to hear you sing, Edgar.
Well,
shall we talk about something else? Hunting or fishing or something?
Now, what kind of a voice have you got, Edgar? Is it a tenor or a baritone?
It's an in-between.
In-between what?
Yeah. Well, between a swissioler and a fish settler.
No, right. No, no, I insist it isn't as bad as all that.
All right, just a fish peddler.
Oh, now, Charlie. I'm sure Edgar has a lovely voice, and I'd just love to hear him sing an Irish song.
Okay, okay. But you stuck your pretty little neck out that time, Garleen. Go ahead, thrush. My hummingbird, swing.
Well, Maureen, I hope you won't expect too much.
We expect nothing. And I'll give odds 8-5. We'll still be disappointed.
Yeah.
Oh, Edgar, please sing.
Well, I'll try. I'll sing an Irish song.
It's a good time to go for a smoke now.
When Irish eyes are smiling, sure.
Oh, there again. Yeah. What did the Irish ever do to you?
No.
Charlie, I think you're being very unfair. Now, why didn't you let Edgar finish?
Well, I can only stand so much pain, you know?
Well, I don't say that I have a marvelous voice. I don't say that it's even a very good voice.
But I do say it's the worst I ever heard.
You know, I really think that you're much too modest, Edgar. Have you ever thought of singing professionally?
Well, you know, once I was invited to sing at a ship's concert.
Oh, really? How nice.
Yes, but a very sad thing happened.
Oh, you did sing?
No, no.
I didn't know.
Well, while I was singing, a sad thing happened.
Oh, while you were singing?
Yes.
A sad thing, yes. A double tragedy.
If you stop interrupting me, Charlie, I'd like to tell Maureen about this tragic incident.
Yes, please, Charlie. I'm really very anxious to hear about it.
All right. Well, as I was saying, at this ship's concert, while I was singing, a man fell overboard.
He didn't fall. He knew what he was doing.
Charlie, now that you've been so critical of Edgar's singing, I'd like to hear you try a tune.
Well, I don't mind if I do.
Good.
Here's a little ditty I dashed off, and it's dedicated to you.
Thank you.
I just threw it together. Oh, she swings through the trees with the greatest of ease, the girlfriend of Tarzan and his chimpanzees.
That's very cute, Charlie.
Well, it's not remarkable. It's good, no? And you're cute, too. And now my mavourney. Sure, it's your turn to sing.
Sullivan to refuse him a coffee.
Bergen has a little trouble with that, my boy. I'll give you a little atmosphere for your song. Oh, diddly 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 diddly.
Oh, no, that's quite enough atmosphere, my boy.
Yes, I guess.
Now, I'm going to sing, but you're not to laugh until I'm finished.
All right.
If you're Irish, come into the parlor, there's a welcome there for you. And if your name be Timothy or Pat, as long as you come from Ireland, there's a welcome on the mat. If you come from the Mounties of Moran or Killarney's Lake So Blue, we'll sing you a song and make a fuss. Whoever you are, you're one of us. If you're Irish, this is the place for you.
Case where you'll agree that a man's best friend is his wife's mother. Listen while a mother tells her daughter about what men like at meals.
Remember, men are always particular about their coffee, and there's one kind they're sure to like, Chase and Sanborn dated coffee.
Yes, countless mothers have told their daughters that. Then, too, neighbor tells neighbor, friend tells friend, and here's the result. In recent years, among all brands of coffee, Chase and Sanborn dated coffee is the one that's made the most new friends. For this is a superb blend, freshly roasted. And women know freshness is important because
coffee spoils, like milk or eggs. When it gets stale, it may turn rancid tasting and bitter. But you can easily avoid stale coffee. Get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee, and you'll know your coffee is freshly roasted.
Yes, Chase and Sanborn's fresh food delivery service rushes dated coffee fresh from the roasting oven to your grocer. And the date he gets it is plainly marked on every bag. Your assurance of the rich, mellow goodness of freshly roasted coffee.
And another thing, husbands appreciate it when wives watch the pennies, and Chase and Sanborn dated coffee saves you money.
That's because freshly roasted coffee doesn't require costly containers, and we can use a thrifty dated bag instead. So you get a superb blend of the world's choice coffees at a cash saving. Join the millions who have changed to this delicious blend. Ask your grocer for Chase and Sanborn dated coffee tomorrow.
Before you sing your next song, Nelson, I'd like to deliver a message from all of us.
What's that, Don?
Well, there have been a number of good wishes and like sentiments floating around.
Yes?
And being of a neat and orderly nature, I gathered them up and tied them in a pretty package, and now I give you, from the entire company, our heartfelt wishes for a very successful concert tour.
Thanks, Donna. And will you tell the boys and girls, each and all of them, how swell it's been to be around, and how I look forward to seeing them all again?
I shall do just that, Nelson. And we're especially happy that you have chosen to say so long in such a grand musical manner. Nelson Eddy sings the Sweetheart Waltz from his newest picture, Sweethearts.
Nights of love, we will climb to the how to live on love alone. We'll find a paradise somewhere, leaving behind all worldly care. Sweetheart, oh, day will never fade like an eternal serenade. All love will end the way it starts. Forever we'll be sweethearts.
Come to the end of another Chase and Sanborn hour, an hour made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll all be back next week, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster and his orchestra. And joining us as a regular member of the company will be our young baritone, yet old friend, Donald Dixon. Our very special guest will be Barbara Stanwyck. Until next Sunday, then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Another big Chase and Sanborn hour. Barbara Stanwyck, Don Amici, Edgar Bergen, and Charlie McCarthy, Donald Dixon, Dorothy L'Amour, and Robert Armbruster in the Chase and Sanborn Orchestra. Heard on this program where I have eyes from Paris Honeymoon and The Big Show by Jerome Kern. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee. This is the National Broadcasting Company.